The first case on our calendar is 03-1960 Crew for You, Inc. versus Thomas Zano, Tax Commissioner. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. I would like to reserve the last 2 minutes for rebuttal, if I might.
Watch your time there.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, this case involves a couple of issues relating to the sales tax that Ohio imposes on the sale of employment services in this state. To properly determine the issues in this case, it's crucial to understand there are three important players in the transactions at issue. First, there's a broadcaster, a network such as Fox Sports, or a local station such as WAUB in Boston. These broadcasters have contracts to cover particular sporting events, such as Cleveland Indian games at Jacobs Field, or Cincinnati Reds games down in Cincinnati. Those broadcasters provide a limited group of personnel to broadcast those games, specifically a producer, a director, and what they call the talent, the announcers who are sort of the face of the network or the broadcaster in broadcasting the game. The second important player arises from the fact that this broadcaster does not use its own equipment when the broadcast is performed. Since they move from various place to place in the country, they in fact hire what is called a trucking company in the trade. The trucking company provides a truck which has all of the basic equipment in it, which is necessary to facilitate the broadcast. Then finally, the third player, which is exemplified by Crew for You in this case, is an entity that provides the technical personnel to operate all of the equipment that the trucking company is supplying to the broadcaster.
Counsel. So,
yes, Your Honor.
The General Assembly meant to tax, clearly they meant to tax temp, or apply the tax to temp agencies, as we would know them.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Now, where it gets more murky is where you move beyond what we would think of as somebody who's running a temp agency, and Crew for You isn't exactly how we would think of us as a temp agency. I think you would agree, or wouldn't you?
You probably it seems to me
That's what it is.
Well, it meets the criteria, okay, both of what one would think of.
Well, let me, because in thinking about this, I was wondering, well, how is this transaction different from a contractor who's building a building or whatever, and he calls the union and says, I need some bricklayers today, or we're pouring concrete, so I need some concrete finishers. I assume that the commissioner is not trying to apply the tax to all of those artisans who go from job to job to job, depending on where the work is.
Well, Your Honor, I can't speak for everything the commissioner might do, except to say that the commissioner looks at the language of the statute, the definition of employment, okay, service.
Well, but if we agree with you on this, then isn't that the next step? It's just to tax the payroll of every bricklayer and every carpenter and that doesn't work for just one employer all of the time that moves from job to job to job.
Your Honor, it would only be taxable if it meets the statutory definition of employment service.
Well, how is that? How would that be different than this?
Well, I'm not sure I have enough facts to distinguish the two cases.
Well, I mean, you know how that works, don't you? In the trades, that when a contractor's building a building and they need electricians, they call the union and get some qualified electricians sent over. When they're doing heating and plumbing, that contractor gets.
Your Honor, if there's an organization in that context which provides or supplies personnel who act under the supervision or control of another, and those personnel receive their wages or other compensation from that service provider, which might be a point of distinction in some of the cases that you're talking about, who is paying the compensation to these people. It might be the person they're assigned to. Of course, in a temp service, the temp service actually pays compensation to the employees.
So that's the key. If your check comes from, doesn't come from the contractor, but comes from, if the employee's check, paycheck, comes from.
Crucial element of the definition of employment service is that the service provider, the person who's providing the personnel, has to issue the paychecks or pay the invoices, as in this case.
And that would make all the difference in the world under the
Absolutely.
Statute.
If the service provider does not pay the personnel, it's not an employment service. Now, in this particular case, the BTA committed a legal error because it found that the transactions where Crew4U supplied the personnel to the trucking company, who then turned around and made them available to the broadcaster, would constitute a sale for resale under 5739.01E1. Now, originally, the tax commissioner, on the scanty information that was before him, determined that this benefit did not pass through, that the trucking companies were providing a separate sort of service. But the evidence at the hearing seemed to make a very strong case that, unlike some of the prior cases the court has decided in Belmar and Corporate Staffing Resources, that in fact in this case the trucking companies wanted nothing to do with either controlling the personnel or hiring the personnel. So in this case they made a strong case for passing through, but what they failed to do is they failed to point to any action by the trucking company that constituted a sale as defined by the sales tax law.
Who wrote the check?
Well, there were several checks involved. There would be an invoice from the personnel to Crew4U, and Crew4U would pay that to the personnel based on...
Say that again.
Crew4U, who is the appellee in this case,
sure,
would contact these personnel, make them available for a sporting event. Then subsequently, they'd receive an invoice from the personnel for their hours, and Crew4U would pay on that invoice. So Crew4U provided the compensation to the personnel in this particular case.
Right.
And of course, then Crew4U was paid by the trucking company, and the trucking company was paid by the broadcaster for what it provided. The case of Hyatt versus Limbaugh clearly applied in the service area what had already been known in the sale of tangible personal property, and that is there's no sale for resale unless the person who's purchasing the item is himself turning around and making sales that are defined as sales under the sales tax law.
But you just stated that the the company that used the services, the broadcaster, paid the trucking company. And
correct.
Then the trucking company paid Crew4U.
Correct.
So why is that not constitute a resale? I mean,
well,
you're saying, okay, I agree that the services were passed on in the same form, but there's no sale. But there are, in fact, two invoices. And if you say in the situation of whether it's an employment service, it all depends on who paid the check. Here you have who paid the check, the trucking company.
Well, I'm not saying it's all, that everything turns on who paid the check. It is crucial, if there's going to be a finding of employment service, that the service provider pay the check. What's missing in this case is any indication that the trucking company is making a sale. The analogy here is if you have tangible personal property, you have a wholesaler and a retailer, and the wholesaler sells the item, and the retailer turns around and sells it to the consumer.
But isn't that what happened here when you had these employees and went to the trucking company? The trucking company turned around and made them available to the broadcaster. The trucking company billed the broadcaster.
But the trucking company did not itself make a sale within the sales tax law.
I am not following that argument. You're going to have to try a little harder to make that clear.
Well, okay.
I'm not following that.
Chapter 5739.01 gives us the definition of sale at 5739.01B. And under that definition, for example, transfers of tangible personal property for consideration are sales. Under B3...
Employment services are not sales?
Pardon me?
Employment services are not sales.
Employment services are defined as sales under B3.
Because you keep talking about tangible. We don't have tangible here. We have personnel services.
Correct.
So stick to that.
But even in that context, this court in Hyatt drew precisely the distinction that I'm drawing here. In that case, Hyatt, of course, provided overnight lodging. In some cases, it provided overnight lodging to transient guests. Under 5739.01B, that's a sale under the sales tax law. And so you pay sales tax when you stay overnight at a Hyatt or any other hotel. By contrast, Hyatt also provided long-term lodging. That is not defined as a sale under the sales tax law. And this court specifically distinguished the transactions where there was overnight lodging to transient guests, that was a sale under the sales tax law, from the others, and said there's no resale exception for the others. This court said, furthermore, the BTA correctly concluded that linen used in rooms rented to long-term guests was not resold. Under the statutes, renting these rooms is not a sale because lodging is not sold to a transient guest, and consequently, this cleaning service was not resold. Accordingly, this linen cleaning transaction is not accepted.
Counsel,
that's
the cameramen or sound people, or these are highly skilled people. I assume the contract provides all kinds of things like breaks and overtime if you have to work more than so many hours, that kind of thing. So I assume from the way you've described this contract, this chain of events, when the cameraman gets home, he or she fixes up a statement, says I worked X number of hours and this is my hourly rate,
right.
And that's what I get, and that goes to Crew for You, who pays that, and Crew
Correct.
For You then bills
gets
the
that.
Trucking company and says it was X, we had to pay X
Correct.
Number of hours, and I assume the trucking company goes right on up the ladder to the
It's part of a quote that the trucking company gave to the broadcaster. It's included in that price.
So if they have to pay more labor than they expected, they have to eat that rather than the network?
The testimony indicates that if Crew for You, in its proposal to the trucking company, turns out to be wrong about what it's going to cost for that crew, the testimony was that Crew for You has to eat it. That was precisely the terminology that was used. And also, on the subject of time and a half, it appeared to be the testimony that Crew for You would have to pay that time and a half. Because what they did is, in their proposal, they assumed a 10-hour day. And so they, in their proposal, they took all of these technical personnel, and there's exhibits C and D, all the technical personnel did a 10-hour day. And so what we urge is that the court simply apply that distinction that was drawn in Hyatt and then in fact reflects on cases over the decades to find that there must be a subsequent sale, and I'd like to reserve the remainder for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Domingo.
Thank you for agreeing to hear this oral argument. I'd like to reserve 4 minutes for rebuttal. Just want to add a bit more with respect to the key players here, and that is Crew for You itself, Crew, its role in this transaction. Crew is, as the court suggests, is simply acting as a go-between. It's assuming the responsibility to provide these freelance technicians, independent contractors, for the job. It's assuming the responsibility to provide all of the personnel, the freelance technicians that are necessary for this broadcast, and simply acting as a go-between.
So it's like a dating service then?
A dating service?
Yeah. You take what they're looking for, and you match them up.
In a way, yes, it is. Crew has a pool of talent of these freelance technicians that have tremendous artistic expertise, know how to do the broadcast, have special talents with respect to the broadcast, tries to match them up to meet the objectives of the broadcasting
entity. How would you differentiate that from what we think we understand to be a temp agency?
The
testimony is that your client is actually paying the wages to these people. I don't know whether you withhold taxes or not, and that if there's overtime and you didn't estimate overtime, your company has to eat that rather than pass it on up the line to the network.
Yeah, that part of it is true. With respect to the temp agency, that involves a situation where the individuals that are being provided are typically the employees of the temp agency, and it involves a situation where the individuals that are being provided are being provided to work under the supervision or control of the customer. And in this case, these individuals, these freelance technicians, are not being provided to work under anybody's supervision or control.
I read that, but that really is a little difficult to swallow. I mean, once they're there, the director or producer of the program is going to tell them where they want the cameras, what shots they want, zoom in on this, do this.
And that's similar, Your Honor, to how an architect interacts with the subcontractors on a job. The director sets the parameters for the particular engagement. You're absolutely right. Tells where the camera should be placed. Identifies when the crew calls will be, when the lunch breaks will be, sets forth these general parameters, the objectives to be achieved, and your overall artistic vision, and then the freelance technicians are on the site to do that.
Mr. Domingo, let me ask you this question. The legal issue here seems to be whether or not Crew for You sold taxable employment services. Do you agree they did?
Yes, I do, Your Honor, that they did sell taxable services,
Is that a predicate issue for us to reach in this case, in your judgment?
No, it is not.
Okay. The issue then concerns whether or not, if I understand this, the resale exception should apply. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, there's two issues.
Let me try to follow up, because what is the evidence that Crew for You has demonstrated that these services were not resold? In other words, the services are being provided, and aren't they, in effect, being resold? And isn't that the key issue for us to resolve in this appeal?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
Where is that evidence, and can you address that issue for me?
Well, the evidence is, and the tax commissioner and the board of it have found, and the tax commissioner has accepted, that whatever benefit Crew for You provided to the trucking company, that same benefit was conveyed by the trucking company to the broadcasting entity. Now the question is that a sale? And it is a sale. The trucking company received compensation for providing that service, that service through Crew for You. And so that's a taxable sale, because the question is the trucking company providing the compensation of these freelance technicians? Well, Crew for You gets an invoice from these freelance technicians.
Correct.
And it passes that on effectively, and it's charged to the trucking company. So the trucking company effectively pays as the funding source for this invoice, and therefore pays that compensation. With respect to that, so there is a taxable transaction. We don't need to reach this broader issue. The broader issue really represents an attempt by the tax commissioner to use this case as an entree to create new law. And the new law is, adding words to the statute that it has to be a taxable sale to begin with, and ignoring prior case law of this court.
Well, I think he wants us to follow, if I understand correctly, the Hyatt case. Did you want to address that point?
The Hyatt case? Yeah, the Hyatt case involved whether industrial laundry cleaning services were taxable.
Yeah.
And in that case, the court found that some of the benefits of that service were not, in fact, resold. They weren't conveyed, the benefit wasn't conveyed, and so it's really distinguishable on its facts. And more importantly, Hyatt cites CCH Computax, which involved a transaction involving automatic data processing services. The issue in CCH Computax, which is cited in Hyatt, is also cited in Bellamar Parts and corporate staffing. The Supreme Court addressed employment service resale arguments there. And in CCH Computax, the issue was whether automatic data processing services were being resold. Automatic data processing services were provided by Computax in the form of a tax return. The tax return was received by the accounting firm, which paid CCH Computax for that service. Then the accounting firm conveyed that tax return to its client as part of a professional service. Clearly it was not a taxable transaction, but this court held that its purchase of the automatic data processing services was not taxable because it resold the benefit of that service. Precisely what's occurring here. And more importantly, this court, in Bellamar Parts and corporate staffing, just within the last few years, has held that employment services can be resold. As long as you establish that the benefit of that service is resold in its same form, it's not taxable.
Could you please emphasize again why you're saying that the trucking company resold the service? That's where I keep getting confused. You say that that Crew for You was invoiced by the employees, and it pays the employees directly. Crew for You pays the employees directly. And then you're saying that amount is passed on in an invoice to the trucking company.
Right.
Now, where's the resale of the services?
Well, first of all, Crew for You doesn't have employees. These are freelance technicians, independent contractors, and it pays their invoice. And your question, Your Honor, is where's the sale then
the resale?
Well, it is receiving compensation. The trucking company is receiving compensation. Consideration from the broadcasting entity for on this job. Suppose that the crewing fee that Crew for You charges the trucking company might be $15,000. That's what it charges the trucking company, and that fee then is collected by the trucking company as part of its contract with the broadcasting entity. So it's making a sale to the broadcasting entity of that service that it subcontracted out to Crew for You. The sale being it takes this benefit and is conveying it to the broadcasting entity, and it's receiving consideration for that.
But doesn't that get back to Justice Pfeiffer's question then? Every subcontractor on a contracting job, independent or otherwise, would perform his or her material labor. The general would pay that and then pass that on, and wouldn't those all follow in the same vein?
Yes, those would all be accepted or exempt from tax based upon the statutory provision itself, which provides an exception that the Board of Tax Appeals found did not apply in this case. The Board of Tax Appeals said the subcontractor exception didn't apply because that only applies when the person that's claiming that exception is performing tasks and trying to work with respect to a particular project, which is occurring here. It's assuming the complete responsibility for the staffing of this job. And so you're precisely correct that in those instances where you have an individual or the provider is assuming the responsibility, acting as a contractor, subcontractor, as in this case, that's not a taxable service because it's accepted from the definition of an employment service. It's never been intended that this would tax that.
Does the trucking company supply a truck that all these people work out of? Is that why the trucking company is involved? The trucking company takes all the equipment in the truck and takes it to the site, and all these freelance people work out of the truck?
No, a few of them work. Some of the equipment is in the truck, and they may be in the truck working out of that. But then the truck also unloads a lot of equipment. It carries all the equipment that's necessary for the broadcast, unloads it, puts it into place, and then it steps back. It steps back, has no interaction with these personnel, and so then that's it's kind of a broad phrase. Trucking company, it's there to bring all the equipment to the site and then unload it.
So the trucking company is more like an entity that gathers all these employees and equipment together, delivers them to the site, i.e., resells them in your view, and then they perform their job and they load everything back up in the truck and go back to their origins.
Well, yes, to some extent, it provides all the equipment, but then it subcontracts. It doesn't provide any of the personnel. That's the role of Crew4U, who assumes that as a subcontractor under this particular
agreement. Counselor, can any broadcaster use the trucking equipment or the trucking company's equipment for a particular job?
Can any broadcasting entity use
or any talent, these independent, they come with the trucking company's package. They're not separate from the equipment. In other words, they deliver whatever goods they deliver, the tangibles, to the site for the broadcast. That doesn't mean that another professional can come over there and use their equipment to broadcast from. It's only the people that are linked to the trucking company. It's a package.
Well, I'm not sure if it's, they certainly work together. Nobody else would use that equipment, you're right, on that particular engagement.
The talent that we're talking about, whether they're cameramen or crewmen or broadcasters or whatever, they come as an entity, a package together that are provided by the trucking company. And presumably, there's other packages at the same event broadcasting for other entities, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so.
In terms of a package, I guess I would question that, because that implies that there's truly some linkage between the two contractors that are on that job.
Counsel, I think the question implies what was actually going on here, and that is the network or the whoever it is, the station back in Boston that wants to broadcast this game, they make one call, and that's to the trucking company. And they say, you know, when we cover a game, we like five cameras. And sound, you know, everything, the whole nine yards, you know the deal, you've been in the business. And that includes competent people to operate them.
Right,
and that's the contract. I think that's what Justice O'Connor.
And that would be no different than.
So they are contracting for a package.
Right. I guess want to clarify that the two aren't necessarily linked. They're not interacting with each other. They're certainly using the equipment. The freelance technicians are, some of them are using that equipment.
Well, I mean, for that matter, we don't know if the trucking company actually owns the cameras. They may be paying rent on the cameras to somebody else.
Okay. I'd like to reserve my.
But it is Crew4U that is providing the people. Crew4U is linking the individuals to the truck, to the trucking company. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Domingo. Mr. Mayor, you've saved about a little over a minute of your time, more than that.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I wanted to address some of the questions, particularly asked by Justice O'Donnell and Justice Lanzinger, about the evidence in the record with regard to the claim of resale. There are really two distinguishable issues here. One is the issue that the tax commissioner had originally focused on, whether or not the benefit was passed through the trucking companies and turned around and resold in the same form to these broadcasters. The evidence at the hearing seemed compelling to me that, in fact, they'd proven that on these facts, yes, that benefit passed through. But, of course, that would be true of every piece of tangible property, which is sold by a wholesaler to a retailer and is then sold by a retailer to the final consumer. It's the same item of property. But the case law has always shown us that the sale for resale exception is only available when that retail sale, that final transaction, whether it's the tangible personal property or the benefit of the service, it itself is a sales tax event. And I'd like to point out that that distinguishes this case from the Belmar Parts case and the corporate staffing resources case. In those cases, what was happening was there was a pyramiding of taxes because the tax was on the service, and then there was a tax potentially on Belmar on a sale of tangible personal property, the wheels or the repair services in corporate staffing resources. But this is significant from a precedential standpoint because if they win this point in this case, then it means that the tax is not imposed at all on anyone, and that was not the intention of the law.
I think, isn't he suggesting that the tax should be imposed on the trucking company?
I don't recall hearing him saying that, and certainly the testimony at hearing was they didn't elicit that testimony. They put on the trucking company executive. The only questions on this subject were asked by me. And the trucking company executive, Mr. Patton, said, I have a vendor's license, but not for this aspect of the business, not for the trucking company.
Well, Mr.
Certainly,
Mayor, were those services resold?
The trucking company, on the state of the evidence, the trucking company was not making sales as defined by the sales tax law.
Well, the filming done by the crew was obviously being resold to the public, was it not? I think that's the point, if I am understanding the argument correctly.
Well, the equipment, the access to the equipment was being provided to the broadcaster. That's correct. And it's not clear whether or not that would constitute a sale because the trucking company...
What would the broadcaster be doing with the baseball or the football game then, if not reselling it to some network?
Oh, I see. You're saying that the broadcaster is reselling...
Well, I think that's the point. Maybe I'm not understanding that correctly, but isn't that the argument anyway?
What the Board of Tax Appeals said was that the trucking company, that there was a sale for resale, and what it was saying was because there are these three players,
yes.
Crew for You sold the service, the employment service, to the trucking companies, and then the trucking companies turned around and sold it to the broadcasters. The audience didn't play a role in the Board of Tax Appeals analysis.
Before you sit down, you started to say that the provision of the cameras was not a sale.
The record is not 100% clear.
Well, did the tax commissioner try to levy a tax or not?
Well, that's an interesting point. If the tax commissioner went to the trucking company, Mr. Patton in this case, and said, well, we're going to issue the assessment against you, what would Mr. Patton say? He would say, I'm not providing employment service. Why? Because the personnel are not receiving the compensation from me. The very point that we were discussing earlier, he would use to say, I don't have to collect and remit this tax.
Okay,
and
what about the provision of the equipment? Is that a taxable transaction or not?
The record isn't clear, but it seems as though it is not, because in this case, the trucking company sent an engineer in charge along with that equipment to make sure that the equipment was properly handled, and that arguably they retained possession of the equipment. But that would be a difficult issue, and it simply wasn't proven. It was the burden of Crew for You to prove that they're entitled to this exception from taxation. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Domingo, you may take 30 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor. Crew is acting as a contractor or subcontractor, no different than an architect's relationship with the contractors on a job. And to the extent this court finds that it's not, then the resale exception is available. And Crew asked this court to follow its existing precedent in this area and not allow the tax commissioner to push for new law in this area and ignore its own information releases that have respected the resale exemption for employment services. Thank you.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.